that direction. From here to chapter 12, and we are going to continue on our reach. And so, when you all need to begin, you can stand up here. We're going to read verses 18 to 29, chapter 12. You have not come to a woman that can be touched, and that is burning with fire, disrupted, slain, and sore. You have come at last, which is such a voice speaking words, that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if the terrible touches a mountain, it must be stumbled. The burning was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the faithful, the enemies of earth and heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the spirit of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You do it that you do not refuse him who speaks. They did not escape, but they refused him who warned them on earth. How is that to a living if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice struck the earth, but now he has promised. Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, rather than creating things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be humble, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God, consume fire. Lord, speak not from your word. Open our hearts, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, may you give revelation to us, and may we respond with a heart of obedience. Lord, allow the Spirit to follow up what you tell us. We ask in Jesus' name, and the people of God said, Amen. Today I want to welcome all those of you who are here for the first time to visit with us. And just by way of update, we are hoping, praying to be in the building soon. That's all that is left. Soon. So pray with us. Pray with us that the Lord will have his back and we'll be able to the Lord wants us to be trusted with us soon. I found out my father taught me how to read a road atlas. Anybody remember those road atlases? I don't know if people know what they want to talk about. They had a GPS and a smartphone and pretty much no way to go around the house. Except for me, because even though I didn't use the GPS, I would like to know where I'm going. After my father told me to raise my family, and we were trying to travel again, for instance, a lot of young kids, and we would be on a whole lot of Vermont and the United States, and we lived in Niagara Falls, we lived all the way down the south. We didn't go too far into the west, we stayed in the Mississippi area, down towards North Carolina, Georgia, and so on. Whenever I would be going driving somewhere, I would pull out the atlas and I would like to see where we're at. And the road that we have, and of course, you know that the atlas, you see a home page or one state, and then you have to figure out where it's next. And the other side of the valley, you sometimes do all the sorts of back roads to the city or the adjoining state would be there. But anyhow, then I think it was a pretty decent sense of direction. And so, chapter here in the book of Hebrews. The writer wants the Hebrew Christians to have a clear roadmap. You see, they may be getting a little fuzzy on the road that God has for them. See, they can get confused, like we get confused. And sometimes you hear all the truth, and then you find yourself on the wrong road. He's writing to them to give them a clear roadmap of where they are going, what God wants them, what road he wants them to be on. Earlier in the chapter, when we looked at this 3 weeks ago, we read about the call of the Roman verse and the great power. And then last week we saw that we are called to the grace, the perseverance, people peace, and people purity. And now, in this next passage here, he reminds the Hebrew Christians and us that the true word, he wants us to understand what the true word is all about. Not road, not the time. And he wants to challenge those Christians, those Hebrew Christians, who have gotten off track and are on the road back to Sinai. They want to go back to Sinai, which represents the law. Once we realize that we're on the wrong road, that there's a road, and that road leads to Mount Zion. Mount Zion represents God's presence and relationship and fellowship with God and to Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus and the new covenant that he brought. And he is the one that has given us the road to Zion, to God's presence. The road of Zion leads to the heavenly Jerusalem, it leads to the city of God, and so on and so forth, we read verse 22. So he wants them to understand, he wants us to understand, and he has this written in the name of the Son. So I will bring that through Jesus, and only through Jesus, we have a way, we have a road, through Zion, not through Zion, but through it, to the Son. God wants us to dwell on Mount Sinai. God wants us to dwell not on Mount Sinai, but on Mount Sinai. He really wants us to dwell in relationship, in presence, all that Jesus has brought forth through the new covenant. This is what he wants for us. He wants us to want you to go back to Sinai. He doesn't want us to go back to the law, to really our seeking to try and equal the law. He doesn't want that, but rather to be in our mind, to understand that this is where the presence is. And we have to see that the way to God's woman is all through Jesus. It's all through Jesus. What he's saying to them, and he's saying to us, is we have to come to Jesus. We have to stay on the road. Do not tell that Jesus is incredible, that Jesus is rewarded. And all along the road, we have to cling to Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this through the book of Hebrews, that as he's been addressing the Hebrew Christians, he's been addressing them because they had a great deal of persecution. They had all kinds of trouble, all kinds of hardship. We read in chapter 10 how some of them have been in prison. Some of them had their property confiscated. Some of them were being persecuted terribly. And some of them had even lost their lives. But notice their case in the book of Hebrews that the writer does not give them an easy fix. Does that not fit in the Bible to you? Are you not yet? You're 3 steps to get an idea. That's not what you're talking about. Very easy stuff to get out of here to hear a question. Jesus did it, and it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't address with them how much to escape the problems that you're dealing with. He doesn't address with them a way out. Only that they are staying on the road that Jesus is prepared, and along the road, they stop them to show up in Canada. Jesus will walk with them. And Jesus will lead them. And And Jesus will strengthen them. And if we look to him, the one that has given us the benefit of the new covenant, the one that has given us the Holy Spirit, we will be strengthened. We'll be encouraged. And whatever we're going through, he will make a way, and he will see us through. He points them, and he points us to Jesus. Jesus says, I will be with you. I will walk with you. For whatever reason, I will never forget you. Even if you're traveling, even if you're difficult consequences, persecution, hardship, I will be with you. See, we do not go around the world. We don't go enough on that. But I know that the law, the humor of the law, and you see, when the law comes, it points out our sin. The Greek says that a lot of the problems, a lot of the consequences, not always, subject to Hebrew Christians, but a lot of the consequences sometimes come from our sin. Sometimes they come from our sin. They may even come from the sin of our habits. Right? The sin of the body of our visitors on the children of the third and fourth generation. That's what we have said in terms of the justice that he has. But his unfailing love is with men for thousands of generations that love and fear him. So we don't go out something, we go through it, but we go through it for Jesus. You see, God did not dismiss the demands of the law, they were fulfilled in Jesus. And when you and I have faith and trust in the faith of Jesus, then we are righteous. We say we're righteous in Christ. We are justified before a holy God, and then that road to Zion is available to us, and we are in God's presence. So, what about you, a human being? I don't want to go around outside. I don't want to go around the law and the demands of the law. All of us don't want to go around the God who is the church, and what seems very severe to us as humans. I don't want to go around that. See, now that we have his son, now that we would go around him, we would go through, and we'll show what that is in just a minute. So, number one, Sinai is the old covenant, based on the keeping of the law, with fearful and severe consequences. We're going to make it down here. Number one, Sinai is the old covenant. It represents keeping the law, and the fearful and severe consequences that come with it. And we're all going to see that it points us to Jesus. The old covenant points us to Jesus. As we read it a few minutes ago, we saw that God could not be approached at Mount Sinai. And God, he had warned the people. He had said to them, do not come near the mountain. For if you come near the mountain, if you touch the mountain, you will die. And Jesus gives this command here, even if an animal comes near and touches the mountain, it will be stoned to death. That's clear. You know, what if the man is all got up? And that organ pulls him out. Ooh. Come on. Well, Lord, this is fire. Should we let him get up? No. You see, you don't go around the law. So I'm the man of the law representing justice and righteousness. And he makes the point that even if an animal touches the mountain, it will be stoned to death. Sinai represents the end of the mountain, the end of the kingdom. The revelation of who God is, there's a smoking mountain that was on fire. There's a trumpet cloud. And then there's a terrifying voice. And it says that the people trembled into everyone here in our world. Even Moses can be here. There's a presence of terrifying verse 21 that I am suddenly this here. Moses, the one that knew God, the one that spoke to God face to face, when he came here to the full revelation of God's presence and our Sunday, he was here today. He was firmly with you. You see, a sign of God reveals himself in the Holy Spirit. God reveals himself in the giving of law, they reveal that he is in the job and what is the job. Here's another line that Jesus said. In his first command, one of the Ten Commandments was so that he didn't go to college, he said, you shall have no other house before me. How is that? Because you should have made a light and fill out of you. There were numerous gods. There were public gifts of all kinds of gods. And the first actual one that happened, in fact, plays a correspondence to the middle of thoughts. And so if you grow up in a culture where there were numerous false gods, and the one true God just says, there would be no other gods before him. He is a jealous God. He is a God that demands our nation. So he reveals himself in holy fervor. And the end of the law, listen, the end of the law to inspire in us hope and fear of a holy God who does me our pleasure. We have to understand that God, yes, is loving, but he is also holy and just, and he will judge them. I'm we're all kind of fun of to the extent of our sin before we are. We often say, well, sure about it, our faults. I'm a sinner, but I'm not a sinner. I'm not one of the sources of our fears. It's a child of us. I'm not a different behavior of his terrorist. I've never killed anybody. I've never gone to the bathroom. I'm a sinner. I'm not just not that much of a sinner. But the law intended to do was to point out our sin and help us understand how sinful we are before holy God. The only God is holy, but we don't quite know what that means. And the law helps us understand his holiness. We cry out like we are today when we see ourselves in the land of God and his holiness. We cry out like today. And I'm going to respond, God is me! I'm ruined! And he dropped before the presence of God, and he told God, I am enough enough. And the fact that I'm growing fills the temple. The temple represents his righteousness and his glory to fill the entire temple. He cries out, above his name, I am ruined. Because I am ruined of uncleanness, and I live among the people of uncleanness. My eyes are seeing a king, the Lord of hosts. He was changed. The nature of his sinfulness. When we understand before a holy God, we cry out with God and say, I am ruined. You see, we must know, first, to pray about it and recognize our sin and our need, and then God shows us the road to the Son. And that is the principle of the law that fulfills my rights on our behalf. The law is consequences will fulfill our Jesus Christ for you and for me. And so that was the demands of the law that satisfied and the good on Jesus. The road to the mountain goes through someone. We must see our sinfulness in light of all we want. And so, what are you going to do to you? Are you going to lack the Sinai? The strength of the law? Listen, you might not be a good example. You might be a good example. and they want to do other help. And so I worked with it. And she was friendly. And we had a conversation about the problem. He asked me what I was doing here, how I was studying. And I said, well, that's a father college here, and I'm still making a career. And she gave her older eye at that point.
Whatever we're going through, whatever situation we're
going through, whatever we're talking about, He wants to walk with us. And He has chapter verse 15. Chapter 15 says, promise. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Careful. Much humanity to me. Lots of life here. You see, when you are in the presence of God, when you are walking on the road with Jesus, you don't have to fear. First of all, you have to adhere to this kind of faith. Every day we learn how to say, Jesus, I'm going to walk through today with you. And so whatever problems come up, we have problems and I see other difficulties. I'm not on my own. And I'm going to look for my own wisdom. So what am I going to do today? How am I going to deal with this over? How am I going to deal with this potential of losing my job? How am I going to deal with when someone hits my car and exposed? How am I going to deal with this, Lord? You don't expect us to figure out all these problems on our own. He's there with us. And He'll never leave us. And He'll never forsake us. Now, He does not promise to fix all our problems, but rather to bring us through it. He's not there to be God of God. He's not there to fix problems. That kind of theology is false. There's a lot of being preached today. All over the radio waves, internet waves, TV waves, it's just being preached everywhere. And Jesus comes up. And He's going to fix the situation. Come to God.
Thank you.
contrast between the fact of his presence, the love of the Lord, and the righteousness of his presence, and then to have a reverential awe for our God is a consuming fire at some time. You and I have to have a reverential awe of our great Lord. And so you don't come flippantly to this time. You don't throw a flippant prayer to the Lord. Oh Lord, it's time to have your power. He's got your great power in your right hand.
I love Jesus. I've come off the road. We're turning back again.
people to find yourself to do anything for Jesus, let alone the law and the performance. Lord, restore to me the joy of my covenant, Lord, put me on the right road again. Pray that you love me now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you are so loving and so gracious. Thank you that you truly have brought us to live in our lives. I pray for your people. Lord, let us worship you with reverence and awe of something awesome and mighty God. And for all this, in the precious name of Jesus Christ the Lord, and all the people who have said, amen. 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 Would you say that? As we close the service, elders and alumni will be standing in the front. And if you need to cement that prayer as you pray today, you can come to this meeting and we invite you to close of the service and pray with one of our leaders, pray with one of our elders, pray with one of our deacons. Don't leave without connecting back to the Lord. If you haven't made that decision yet, just pray it out. Maybe it helps you to hear that you want to be able to respond. It's okay. You have God as an example of loving and knowing. We will call you and direct you in your life. You see the presentation of the new word of the Lord. So thank you for your presence. Bless your people. Lord, let us walk closely with you every day. Thank you that you are walking with us. We bless you over all the good people that you have called yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want you to look at how you're getting done before you leave.